Anne Frank's first diary entry. Anne Frank's first diary entry is from her 13th birthday, June 12, 1942. She writes, "I hope I will be able to confide everything to you, as I have never been able to confide in anyone." The diary was a gift from her parents, and she mentions the other presents she received: a new blouse, flowers, a puzzle, and a voucher for 2 books. She feels spoiled by these gifts and by her parents before the family goes into hiding. At that time, Anne, her parents, and her older sister Margot were living in Amsterdam. Her father worked as a director for a company that made spices and other food products. In her early entries, Anne mostly writes about school, friends, and classmates, but it's clear she has a sharp mind. On June 20, 1942, she wrote the saying, "Paper has more patience than people," reflecting her desire for a place to express herself. She also wrote about how, despite appearances, she felt lonely and lacked a true friend to confide in. Anne shared how the stress of Hitler's anti-Jewish laws was affecting her family, Anne Frank's struggles and sudden hiding. Anne Frank wrote about the stress her family faced due to Hitler's new anti-Jewish laws. She described how the 1938 pogroms forced Jews to wear yellow stars and banned them from riding bicycles, using cars or trams, or playing sports in public. They could only shop between 3 o'clock and 5 p.m., and they were not allowed to go to movies or see plays. There were so many rules that it was hard to remember them all. In June, Anne mostly wrote about lighter topics like her conflicts with teachers who thought she talked too much, her grades, her relationship with a boy named Hullo Silberberg, short for Helmut, and her crush on Peter Schiff. Everything changed on the first Sunday of July, when the Frank family received a call-up notice from the SS. These notices meant that the person would likely be taken to a cell or a concentration camp. At first, Anne thought it was for her father, but it was actually for her sister, Margot. Quickly, the family packed their belongings and gave some items to friends to keep safe. They were going into hiding. Their secret hiding place was at the back of the top 2 floors in the Opekta building where Anne's father worked, at 263 Prinsengracht. A hidden door on the second floor led to what is now known as the secret annex. Life in the secret annex with the Van Dants. The Franks weren't alone in the secret annex. A week after they moved in, they were joined by the Van Dants. Anne used fake names in her diary, and this family consisted of Mr. and Mrs. Van Don and their teenage son, Peter. Mr. Van Don was a colleague of Anne's father, Otto Frank. A few trusted people at Otto Frank's company, Opekta, knew about the hidden annex and its residents. These included Mr. Kleiman and Mr. Kugler, who ran the business, along with 2 secretaries named Hermina and Elizabeth, whom Anne referred to as Meep and Beep. These helpers regularly visited the secret annex, providing the families with food, books, and other necessities. They were the Franks and Van Dants' only link to the outside world. Live in the secret annex. The door to the secret annex was hidden by a bookcase attached to the wall. Behind this door, a steep staircase led to 2 rooms, one for Mr. and Mrs. Frank, and the other for Anne and Margot. On this floor, there was also a bathroom and a small room with just a sink. Up another set of stairs was the 3rd and final floor, a large room that served as a kitchen, living room, and study. This room had a gas cooker and a sink, and it was where Mr. and Mrs. Van Don slept. Peter had a small side room with a bed. There was also an attic space for storing supplies. The living space wasn't extremely cramped. Anne realized there might not be a more comfortable hiding place in all of the Netherlands, but life there wasn't easy. Strict rules were necessary. Anne and her father quickly made blackout curtains for the windows, which had to stay closed as much as possible. Looking out the window was forbidden. Water use and flushing the toilet had to be done at off hours so that the workers below wouldn't hear. Any noise, whether from the radio or coughing, could be dangerous. No one in the annex could ever go outside. While everyone was grateful for the shelter, they constantly lived in fear. As Anne wrote a few months after moving in, 2 things troubled her most: not being able to go outside and the fear of being discovered and shot. family dynamics in the annex. Privacy was rare in the annex, leaving little space for personal moments. Anne found solace in writing her diary, often the only time she felt truly alone. Her entries reveal the difficulties they all faced living in such close quarters. On July 12th, a month after Anne turned older, she noted a growing distance between herself, her mother, and her sister. She felt misunderstood and out of place with them, while her father remained her only confidant. Anne felt they often belittled her and treated her unfairly, making her diary a refuge from these conflicts. Margot once broke the vacuum cleaner by pulling too hard on the cord while trying to unplug it. This caused the light fuse to blow, plunging their annex into darkness for the rest of the day. Surprisingly, she received only mild scolding with a remark that she should have known better. In contrast, when Anne attempted to improve her mother's messy handwriting on the shopping list, the entire family criticized her harshly. Anne noticed that her family often praised their good relationships with each other, yet they never considered how she felt about their family dynamics. Friction between families in hiding. Initially, Anne eagerly awaited the arrival of the Van Donts on July 13th. At first, things seemed promising as the families blended smoothly. Anne wasn't particularly drawn to Peter initially, finding him too shy. Mrs. Van Don, on the other hand, brought some amusement right from the start. She showed up with a hat box containing a chamber pot, insisting she couldn't feel at home without it. However, tension soon surfaced between the Van Donts. They frequently argued over trivial matters, which seemed to be a regular part of their relationship. More awkward was the friction between Mrs. Van Don and Mrs. Frank. Early disagreements stemmed from Mrs. Van Don's disapproval of modern parenting, like allowing teenagers to read adult books or how young women should behave modestly. When Mrs. Frank agreed with Mr. Van Don that being modest and retiring wouldn't get you far, Mrs. Van Don couldn't resist speaking up. She had a habit of turning bright red when annoyed, which she did when arguing against modern child-rearing ideas. Ironically, she insisted she was extremely modest and not pushy at all, oblivious to how her actions contradicted her words. Mrs. Frank couldn't help but laugh, which only made Mrs. Van Don even more flustered. Health and food concerns in Anne Frank's life. Living in close quarters with the same people every day inevitably leads to tensions. Besides this, daily worries about food and health added to their anxieties. These were things they couldn't control. In late October 1942, Anne's father fell ill with what seemed like measles. This highlighted how vulnerable their situation was. They had no access to a doctor. Anne hoped her mother's treatment, making her father sweat it out, would help. Coughs, colds, measles, flu, any illness was a serious worry. Medicines like aspirin, codeine, and valerian drops were incredibly valuable commodities. Constantly fluctuating yet monotonous, the meals during this time were both predictable and surprising. Potatoes dominated nearly every dish, even when they had started to spoil. At one point, lettuce became the only vegetable available, leading to days filled with boiled and raw lettuce, often paired with questionable potatoes. To afford such meals, the Franks and Van Donts relied on black market ration coupons, which came at varying costs. Their loyal friends helped to acquire and deliver the food, yet financial worries persisted. Handle the food and mishaps in the annex. Birthdays and holidays were rare moments of celebration in the annex. On these occasions, everyone pitched in a bit of their supplies. People saved sugar to bake something sweet or set aside yogurt as a special treat. Bip and Meep, who helped them, also brought gifts, like a bottle of beer for each of the adults. However, getting food wasn't without its challenges. Imagine carrying a heavy bag of beans, weighing about 50 pounds, up a flight of stairs. It's no easy task. This difficulty became apparent one day in November 1942, when Peter accidentally tore his bag of beans. The beans spilled everywhere, clattering loudly down the steps. The noise was so deafening that others in the house thought the building was collapsing. It took them days to gather up all the stray beans. Thankfully, no serious trouble came from the bean incident. By mid-November, Mr. Frank, who had been unwell, was feeling better just in time for the arrival of another person to join them in the annex. Add a new member to the annex. In November, after a few months in hiding, everyone in the secret annex decided they had space for one more person. With countless others in desperate need of refuge, the Franks and the Van Dants discussed who should join them. They settled on Albert Dussel, a dentist known for his quiet and pleasant demeanor, someone who would fit in well. To accommodate him, Margot moved upstairs to a fold-out bed, giving Mr. Dussel her place. Around November 17th, Mr. Dussel arrived at the annex. He was greeted with a heartwarming scene. The Franks and the Van Dants gathered around the dinner table, welcoming him with a cup of coffee and cognac. Dussel was told the cover story left behind by the Franks, that they had successfully crossed into Belgium. After his initial amazement subsided, he shared distressing news about friends taken away by the SS. He recounted how the SS searched every night, going door to door with lists, seizing entire families by name. From her hiding place, Anne saw SS officers rounding up lines of people, men, women, children, the sick, and the elderly, marching them down the street. Some were even beaten along the way, struggling to keep up. Challenges in the secret annex. Anne struggled with conflicting emotions during her time in hiding. Sometimes, she felt guilty for laughing when she knew her friends might be suffering. On other days, she found it hard to stay in bed and cry all day. No matter what, worries about her future and that of others were always on her mind. She was determined not to let their hiding place become a place of sadness. Anne's initial optimism about Mr. Dussel, their new housemate, quickly faded. He initially seemed pleasant, but soon revealed himself to be strict and prone to lecturing. He even started reporting Anne's misbehavior to her mother. Fed up with his attitude, Anne mockingly dubbed him His Excellency. At night, Anne was left alone with her thoughts, often dwelling on her faults and feeling overwhelmed. She knew she wasn't perfect and wanted to improve herself, but the constant criticism from Mr. Dussel and her mother felt unfair. Despite the challenges, Anne found comfort in looking forward to upcoming holidays like Hanukkah and St. Nicholas Day. Break-ins at the annex. Residents in the annex faced two main fears daily. The first was making noise during the day, worried that warehouse workers might overhear and become curious. The second fear was burglaries. As the war continued, Amsterdam saw an increase in break-ins. People were afraid to leave their homes, unsure if their belongings would still be there upon return. Businesses like Opeka, located away from residential areas, became prime targets for break-ins. Around March 25, 1943, one of the first break-ins occurred at night. Peter went downstairs to quietly inform Mr. Frank about the noise and someone attempting to open the warehouse door. However, Mr. Van Don's loud coughing made everyone nervous. To calm him, someone gave Mr. Van Don codeine, which quickly quieted him down. Anne felt terrified, worried that her father and Peter might not return, but they did. The sound of footsteps down the stairs scares off burglars at the door. Unfortunately, it wasn't the last scare. On Sunday, May 2, 1943, Anne wrote about the daily tension they faced. There were strange noises inside, and the constant noise of guns and bombs outside. As the war dragged on, the bombings and gunfire worsened. The summer of 1943 was scorching hot. Despite this, the people in hiding had to keep burning their trash to avoid leaving evidence that could expose their hiding place to warehouse workers. Anne finds passion in writing. To distract herself from troubles, Anne wrote regularly. Besides her diary, she was busy crafting stories. One she was particularly proud of was a fairy tale titled Eva's Dream, while another piece named Katie's Life, she felt had its moments but wasn't outstanding. Anne was starting to think that journalism might be her true calling. Even if she couldn't earn a living as a writer, she was determined to continue writing in her spare time. What Anne couldn't bear was the thought of living a mundane life like her mother or Mrs. Van Don women who worked unnoticed and forgotten. Anne believed writing was her natural talent, a gift from God. She planned to use it to express herself and make a meaningful impact on the world. Anne's rapid maturation in the secret annex. Anne's growth during her time in the secret annex is strikingly evident in her diary entries. Beyond experiencing her first period while in hiding, she consistently reflects on her character. Her writing shows she was always striving to become more thoughtful and considerate, even amid the extraordinary circumstances she faced. During the winter of 1943 and into 1944, Anne started seeing Mrs. Van Dahn and her parents differently. She realized that being patient and reasonable could make Mrs. Van Dahn easier to get along with. Although Anne struggled to view her mother as her ideal role model, she became less negative and more grateful for her parents' efforts. She even began to recognize her faults in her strained relationship with her mother. At the same time, Anne experienced a period of discovering her maturity, especially in her feelings towards Peter. Initially seeming lazy, Peter became increasingly interested in Anne through their conversations, often initiated by Mousy, the attic's cat with a flea problem. Anne saw Peter as a multifaceted person caught between his quarreling parents, someone who needed empathy and understanding, qualities Anne found in herself. Anne's longing for understanding. Anne believed Peter saw her as a childish talker, like everyone else did. On January 6, 1944, she wrote about wishing Peter could see beyond first impressions to understand her better. Looking into his eyes, she saw past his masculine facade, discovering his shyness and uncertainty, which touched her deeply. Their relationship developed slowly. They started by sitting together in the attic, then progressed to sitting closer with arms around each other. Nighttime conversations became easier, away from the harsh daylight. The days felt agonizingly slow at times. By April, Anne admitted in her diary that she wanted to kiss Peter. Did he feel the same, or did he only see her as a friend? After 21 months in hiding, on April 16, 1944, Anne had her first kiss with Peter, an unforgettable moment for her. Now they face the challenge of explaining their relationship to their parents. Anne's educational pursuits in hiding. Anne Frank kept busy in the secret annex with her studies alongside her creative writing and diary entries. She learned French and English, and even tackled algebra, which she found challenging. Anne had a strong passion for history, particularly enjoying genealogical charts. She read extensively, including a lengthy 598-page book about Charles V and a 320-page book on Galileo. Despite her scholarly pursuits, Anne missed attending school dearly. The turning point came on June 6, 1944. The radio announced the long-awaited D-Day, marking the Allied invasion's beginning. This momentous day brought hope after 2 years of hiding for Anne and everyone else in the annex. Anne's 15th birthday and Allied advances. Anne celebrated her 15th birthday a week later. By the end of June, everyone was in high spirits as Allied forces made gains in France. Then came an unexpected delivery, an abundance of strawberries. They had strawberries with porridge for breakfast, strawberries with buttermilk and bread, and jars of preserved strawberries. On top of that, they received 20 pounds of pea pods. Anne and the others worked tirelessly peeling them, snapping the ends, stripping the pods, pulling the strings, and tossing them into pans. The repetitive task made them all feel queasy by the time they finished. Through it all, Anne became even more determined never to become a housewife. Meanwhile, Anne's relationship with Peter was changing. They exchanged goodnight kisses and shared a mutual affection, but their romance was turning more into a friendship. Anne grew disheartened by what she saw as Peter's self-imposed limitations and occasional laziness. His jokes about turning to a life of crime after the war bothered Anne deeply. Anne's determination for self-improvement. Anne couldn't understand why people settled for what was easy or gave in to weaknesses without a fight. She knew she had her shortcomings, but instead of discouraging her, they fueled her determination to change and overcome them. By August 1, 1944, Anne wrote about feeling split into two parts. There was the cheerful, carefree Anne whom others didn't take seriously, and the deeper, kinder Anne who withdrew when under pressure. Even though most people didn't see this inner Anne, she was the one guiding her actions. Anne was focused on bringing this quieter, better part of herself to the surface. Her diary ends with Anne reflecting on her journey of self-improvement. Just days later, on August 4, 1944, SS officials arrived at 263 Prinzengracht and arrested everyone in the secret annex, along with the helpers Victor Kugler and Johannes Kleiman. Interestingly, the two secretaries, Miep Gies and Elisabeth Voskal, escaped arrest. Fate of the annex members after capture. Miep Gies bravely ventured into the annex shortly after everyone was taken away, managing to salvage belongings including Anne's diary, hoping to return it to her after the war. The eight members of the secret annex were first taken to a prison in Amsterdam before being sent to a transit camp in Westerbork in the northern Netherlands. On September 3, 1944, they were placed on a train to Auschwitz, the final transport from Westerbork. At Auschwitz, the families were separated. Mrs. van Dunn, also known as Petronella van Pels, was sent to Bergen-Belsen and later to several other camps where she tragically died. Mr. van Dunn, whose real name was Herman van Pels, died at Auschwitz in late 1944, shortly before the gas chambers ceased operation. Peter van Pels participated in the death march from Auschwitz to the Mauthausen camp in Austria, where he passed away on March 5, 1945, just days before Allied forces liberated the camp. Fritz Pfeffer, known as Albert Dussel, died on December 20, 1944, at the Neuen Gamma camp. Anne Frank's mother, Edith Frank, passed away from starvation and exhaustion at Auschwitz-Birkenau on January 6, 1945. Anne and her sister Margot remained together and were transferred to Bergen-Belsen in late October 1944. Sadly, they both succumbed to typhus the following winter, just days apart, during an outbreak that devastated the camp. Their bodies were laid to rest in a mass grave at the site. Otto Frank's discovery of Anne's legacy. The only surviving member of their hiding place was Anne's father, Otto Frank. He lived to witness the liberation of Auschwitz by Russian troops and returned to Amsterdam on June 3, 1945. Despite knowing his wife's fate, Otto held on to hope of reuniting with Anne and Margot. Instead, he was greeted by Miep Gies, who handed him Anne's diary, saying, "Here is your daughter's legacy to you." Otto Frank had a challenging time reconnecting with his daughter through her writings. He could only manage to read a couple of pages each day without feeling overwhelmed. Yet, what he discovered amazed him. He had always seen Anne as a child, but her writings revealed her as a deep and thoughtful young woman, capable of profound writing. Legacy of hope and inspiration. Initially, Otto thought only close family and friends should read Anne's writings. However, he later changed his mind. In her diary, Anne had dreamed of publishing a book called The Secret Annex. So Otto decided to send copies of the diary to publishers. Despite many rejections, the book was finally printed in a small edition titled The Secret Annex in June 1947. It wasn't until 1952, when the book was published in America, that it gained global fame. Since then, Anne's diary has never gone out of print and has been adapted into theater and films. Her story continues to inspire people across generations to stand up against the horrors of war and fight for human rights. Anne never lost hope that kindness would prevail in the end. Key points. 1. A young girl isolated by war used her diary to express emotions and challenges. 2. The family lived under harsh laws and restrictions from an oppressive regime. 3. Life in the annex was marked by constant fear, strict rules, and the threat of detection. 4. Health problems and food shortages increased the stress of living in hiding. 5. Despite hardships, Anne's diary remains a beacon of courage, hope, and resistance to injustice. 6. Her legacy continues to inspire generations with its enduring message worldwide.